Hi, everybody. Welcome to Domain Sherpa. Thank you for tuning into the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a Sherpa short titled Timing is Everything, featuring Drew, Chris, and Sophia, who's appearing for the first time as a member of the Media Options team. For today's show, we introduce Sophia and her new role, and we also talk about some recent online chatter regarding domains and social media handles and how some conversations are better off not happening on the internet. We also talk about .com domains versus other extensions, the importance of timing when dealing with market trends, and the key questions you need to ask buyers and sellers in a domain deal. All that and more is coming up on today's show. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at domainsherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at ds.tv. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. So please make sure to hit the like button and the subscribe button and all that good stuff everywhere that you can and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. We also integrate our shows with Muse.ai, which provides search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. And big shout out to Unstoppable Domains, the only ICANN accredited registrar that lets you trade DNS domains on chain and access crypto investors. With 3% commissions at cost renewals and hundreds of resellers soon to be integrated, they're a cutting edge marketplace you need to know about and use to get more sales and keep costs down. Unstoppable can save you thousands in registration costs. They've got $5.com Fridays and $5 off all transfers in. No promo code required. And new shout out to escrow.com. Here at Media Options, we've relied on escrow.com for years. They've handled some of our biggest deals, including 7- and 8-figure transactions. We use their specialized domain services because they understand domains. As the largest online licensed and audited escrow operator, escrow.com is fast, secure, and accountable with workflows built specifically for domains. Whether you're buying your first domain or closing on $1 million deal, they protect buyers and sellers around the world from fraud while ensuring smooth transfers every time. Escrow.com, domain deals done right. And also, big shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world. Find out more at MediaOptions.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and domain investing. Last but not least, we've got some upcoming domain conferences to mention. NamesCon Global coming up November 5th and 6th in Miami. Go to NamesCon.com for more information and to register. Use coupon code DS20 to get 20% off the ticket price. On the topic of domain conferences, the ICA has their annual member meeting coming up January 15th to the 17th at the Park MGM in Las Vegas. Go to ICA.Vegas for more information, and we'll see everybody there as well. All right, with all that, it's now time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, a.k.a. JT, a.k.a. J-On, a.k.a. Sherpa Winfrey, and I'm the host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is a Sherpa short. That's where we usually pick a domain topic, some current events or whatnot. We dig in a little bit, you know, and with that, I'll dive right into the introductions. Over to my right, we got my boy Andrew Rosner, a.k.a. Morpheus, a.k.a. the Dirk Diggler of Digital Assets, a.k.a. Bob Lee Swagger, the Sniper, a.k.a. Drew. Drew got what I need, a.k.a. every Rosner has its thorn, a.k.a. never going to give Drew up. Get Rick Roll, Greybeard, the Domain Pirate in the building. What's up, man? How are you?
I am very good. My summer travels have basically concluded. I think the summer was way too fast and too short. I would like an extension. I'm going to take a bogey. On the other hand, you know, it was a very productive summer from a business standpoint, which is not expected. So, you know, to some degree, I'm the rest of you won't agree, but not even wanted. I really do like to just kind of do nothing. And that was definitely not the case this summer, but, I am good. I'm glad to be, you know, back in the saddle. I'm playing catch up to a large extent. But pipelines, hot, everything's moving.
Uh-huh.
Money printer, go burr. Things are, you know, I think we're basically, on the precipice, you know, we're basically we're walking the plank, right? We got this diving board, you know, it's like a freaking 20-meter diving board, and we're like, we got a couple more steps before we hit the end of that diving board, you know. And then what happens on a diving board? You go up, and then you go down, you know, and then you go splat. So,
all right. Well, I like that you invented a new word.
Walking the plank.
I like it because, well, you kind of invented a new word, right? The word precipice is the word which means, I think, the edge, but the word precipitous means dangerously high or steep. So you kind of said the precipitous or something, whatever you had said was basically, we're at a dangerous edge is basically what you just, that's it, man. You know what I'm saying? I like it.
Listen,
I like
this
it.
This is what I do. This is what I do. That's who I am.
That's it. Hey, look, we have it.
So anyways, it's all good. And we sold a bunch of names and domains are selling.
Birds flying high. You know how I feel.
Birds flying high. You know how I feel. That's it.
So, no, I'm with it, man. That's good stuff.
Mentally gearing up. I'm going to go for a sober October. So y'all just, you know, be prepared for that because it's going to come in hot in October.
I'm happy for you. I'm not happy for the rest of us. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, you know, think about the kids. You know what I'm saying? Like what you're doing, you know? But no, all good. That's going to be great, man. Looking forward to that. Maybe we'll all participate, you know, a little sober October. As I get older, you know, honestly, I'm more sober every day anyway, you know? So it's, it's just part of healthy living, man. I'll tell you, alcohol is poison. That's where I'm at, to be honest.
That's it, for sure.
So, you know, it's just, I don't know that I think I'm past the point of benefits, you know? And,
Yeah, but I'm cutting out. I'm going all in. I'm going nothing. I mean, we're talking, I'm cutting out caffeine. You know what I mean? We're going into the deep end here.
Oh man, the deep, you gotta be careful in the deep end though. You know what happens in the deep end? You know, you mess around, you might drown.
Yeah, you gotta take risk in life.
It is. Life is all about calculated risk, man. I'm with that. We say that a lot on the show. So, all right, well, good. So we're all looking forward to what is to come. We've got some interesting months coming up. We're getting into some, you know, our busy season, but August has been pretty wild and very good. And, you know, so yeah, shout out to the team. Shout out to our clients. Shout out to our buyers, our sellers, everybody. And, you know, let's just keep it moving, man. That's it. Hard work, you know, pays off and, you know, it's all good. So, all right, well, let's keep it moving. Down to my lower right, I got my boy, the one and only Chris Zyker, a.k.a. Zyker's Island, a.k.a. World War Z, a.k.a. The Brand Whisperer, a.k.a. Zyke Tyson. What's happening, man? How you doing?
Zyke Tyson. Busy. Like, yeah. Woke up this morning, phone calls, a lot happening. So, it's good. It's really good.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I tell people, too, when they're like, hey, how's work? I'm like, oh, it's really busy. And they're like, oh, that sucks. I'm like, no, actually, it's awesome.
Yeah. So listen, like, momentum is good. You know, especially negotiating. You know, I mean, I forget who said it. Maybe it was Chris Voss, but negotiation is a perishable skill. And the more you get into negotiations, the more you refine it, the subtleties of it, the pushback. So all good. But, you know, I think probably in the last 3 weeks, we've seen a major uptick in responses, major uptick in people just responding back to us. So I think that's a trend we can talk about later.
Yeah. Hey, the trend is your friend and, you know, negotiation.
Trend is your friend. Is the trend your friend? That's what you got to say. Listen, is the trend your friend? That the trend ain't going to be their friend in a couple months from now. Like they don't.
Well,
I need to do my post where I say, would you know the highest offer if it smacked you in the head? Because it's amazing that a lot of people are passing on the highest offer.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, I think we see that. Drew says it, sell into the wave, right? That's another thing we say on the show all the time. And you miss that opportunity. And, you know, sometimes that window gets shut, man. And then that's, it's that best offer. And then that's it, you know, never be seen again. So all good. All right. Well, let's keep it moving. And last but certainly not least on the show again, in a different capacity, which we'll get into, we've got the one and only Sophia Canala, a.k.a. Sophia Vergara, a.k.a. the Queen of Domainers, a.k.a. the Golden Girl, a.k.a. Sophia the First, a.k.a. So Fly, a.k.a. So Deaf, a.k.a. So Be It, So Be It. Officially, Sophia is now part of the Media Options team, so I guess we're making that announcement. Billy, hit us with some fireworks. Hit us with some flair. Let's get it. Yeah, welcome. Obviously, you know, you have been a key part of our team, even not officially being part of our team when you were with Escrow. By the way, shout out to escrow.com. But now over on this side of the fence, like with the Island of Misfit Toys and, you know, so how you doing?
I'm good. You're busy because now you are guys paying me. So anyways. But yeah, I mean, everything's good. I don't have much anxiety, to be honest. It's just work.
Yeah, hey, that's what it is.
We're traveling the world, like your boyfriend over here who's like going on vacation every single fucking day. But I will be soon. So that's exciting.
Hey, you know, we're just here to carry. I'm here to carry Drew's luggage. You know what I mean? So that's basically what it is. But it's all good. It's all good. I'm the most well-paid valet in the world, you know, but I'll take it. So real quick, just a quick question now that, you know, kind of not to put you on the spot, but now that you've sort of, you know, you moved over and is it what you expected? Are you surprised by just some of the inner workings now that you've kind of got, I mean, you've known us pretty well for a while and obviously known the way our businesses work. So, you know, has it been a pretty, I mean, it's,
I would say I actually spoke to Sophia more than I spoke to most of you, maybe JT, but like I spoke to Sophia more than pretty much anybody on my team.
Yeah, that is actually true. No, I'm not surprised. I don't think that anything that I've seen so far surprises me. I think I've known you guys for like three, four years. I don't know. And as Drew said, we spoke every single day, except when he was on vacation or maybe I was taking leave or whatever. But for those, you know, little exceptions here and there, it was like every day. And I felt part of your team, even though I was obviously working for Espo.com. You always were great in that sense. And I was very honest in like your success was our success because, you know, Escrow needs their clients and the clients need Escrow. So I 100% think that I was excited to be part of your team back then. I'm excited to be part of your team today. So
very cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's good stuff. And you know, what's cool about us is obviously we're a small team. We're all distributed. We're all over the world. You know, but we've all, you know, we all work well together and we make it work. It's what we do. You know, it's a cool, what about that? What about the switch from a more corporate environment? I mean, I remember that in the first couple of days, you were like, you're like, well, what about this? I'm like, we don't do that. And you're like, well, what about that? No, that's not a thing here. That
what's the office vacation policy?
Yeah, it's like,
there is no policy. It's exciting.
The policy is very simple. You do whatever you want, as long as you get done everything that I want. Outside of that, do your.
Well, that is one thing that I'm still trying to get used to because it's not just Escrow, but I had previous jobs as well that were also very corporate and, you know, there was policy for everything. and now it's like, well, so what do you expect me to do in this sense or what do you expect to receive or whatever? And you know, that those kind of conversations, we don't have those here. So,
off that.
Yeah. Anyways, look, and I get it, it can be challenging at times, especially when, you know, kind of the way you described it, it's like everybody has their own thing. And then we've all got this collective thing, but there are definitely parts and aspects to that that are, you know, very, you know, sort of ambiguous or, you know, it's kind of a rhythm thing. And you know, and obviously not being in, none of us being in the same place physically, you know, creates some challenges, but obviously we work through all that stuff. And, you know, but I think that's also the beauty of it. It creates a lot of opportunity to tighten things up. You know, when I started 5 years ago, I mean, it was a whole, I mean, when Chris started, yeah, it was a whole different thing. He got a lot of shit together. I got here a lot of stuff together. You're already getting things together in the first few weeks. It's obviously a lot of the work, Billy and Matthew. I mean, it's, you know, it's all good. It's good stuff.
Well, but the fact that we're all so far away from each other and sometimes we're in different, like, I don't know, Drew's in fucking Italy enjoying, you know, the views. And then
what time zone's he on?
That's doing the hard work. Yeah. So I think that it is, in a way, when we have the chance to be all together, I think it means more. Because when I was working at Espo.com and my team was literally sitting in front of me, it was so much different. Like, we were always together and they could always reach out to me for absolutely anything. But then being unavailable is also part of the fact that it is part of the job. It has to be part of the job. It has to be part of you managing a team. It has to be part of you managing stuff. Your people have to learn to basically cope with the fact that you're unavailable. So that's also important. I think it makes the getting together more meaningful in the business perspective. And
yeah, and you know, and that so
you guys
yeah,
are not too bad to work with.
Yeah. Well, two things on that. One, I think that you're right. I think it sort of forces you to be more independent. It, you know, creates agency, which I think is very important. It makes people, forces them to be more capable. And I think all those are positives. And it definitely does then put a premium on when we get an opportunity to gather up on, you know, we did our offsite in Miami where we got on the boat with Rick and Birkins and Slavic. And, you know, it definitely makes that more special. It makes the names cons, the ICA meetings, like all that stuff, very good opportunities to gather up. You know, and then also too, it's one of the beautiful things about the domain space in general is that if you can, you know, get a situation like we have it, like you can be anywhere. And, you know, Shane really kind of, he pounds that drum all the time on the show talking about, you know, how, you know, domains create this really amazing sort of environment to be able to do it the way we do it. And, yeah, and that's what's up. So. All right, well, let's get into some stuff. Let's talk about just generally on Sherpa Shorts. Like I mentioned at the outset, you know, we'll be interviewing folks, you know, third parties, if you will, or we'll pick a topic or two to kind of dig into. Does anybody have anything in particular that they want to dive into initially here? Or, you know, I've got some topics and things. Drew, Chris?
We keep it real. That question that I had, do you want to go there still, or was that a momentary like fizzle?
No, I mean, look, I shout out to fellow Domain Sherpa, Domain Shane. You know what I'm saying? He's getting burned at the stake today on Twitter, and just want to, you know, give him a shout out, let him know that people love him, and you know,
hey, man.
You know, look. Sometimes people have ideas and they make the mistake of putting them out there publicly before thinking through what the implications of those ideas might be. And something like X or Twitter is literally the town square. It's a place for sharing ideas above all else. And so, you know, look, was it bad judgment? Probably. I think everybody just needs to take a goddamn chill pill and just live their freaking life. Everybody gets this, what's that German word where they love to see people like suffer?
Oh, Schadenfreude or whatever.
Schadenfreude. Yeah. Schadenfreude. Yeah. You know, like there's no place like X for Schadenfreude. And so, you know, people are just loving, they just love to watch people burn. Yeah. I'm guilty as charged.
Let's be careful.
No, not really. I'm really not.
You know, except I mean, that's the thing. I understand we want to commiserate and talk a little bit about, hey, like, you know, sometimes we've got to get creative trying to contact buyers, sellers, whatever, facilitate deals and stuff. But I think that it's interesting because, you know, like, and I mentioned, you know, Shane is a friend and he is a Sherpa and it's really all good. And you know, there'll be an opportunity on, you know, the next time he's on here, if it's still something even worth talking about, things have a tendency to just fizzle out these days. The news cycles are extremely short and people's attention spans are even shorter. But you know, this idea of like, oh, hey, when I get a domain, I go try to find other accounts and things that are tied to it. I think you definitely start to get into a weird gray area, slippery slope, where it's like a question about, you know, other people's rights and other people's property. Right. And I think that's where the real thing comes into, where it's like talking about this idea of using a domain name to then you know go use an email to then get access to these other accounts, right? And obviously, you know, and somebody pointed out on, you know, in this back and forth exchange that's actually the method that scammers will use. We used to see it at Network Solutions all the time, where people would go get, you know, some worthless email or domain name because that was there was an email on that domain tied to a much more valuable domain. And then using that as a way to go and effectively hijack a domain name that they did to have no rights to go claim, right? And then now, but when you enter into different things, talking about X handles, right? I think now there's a whole conversation probably to be had around what are the rights with respect to an X handle, right?
Yeah. And I think now, that... Look, I haven't done the legwork to go look at what are the actual statutes around these, you know, digital fraud and, you know, how does it apply to domains versus some social media handle that's not property or even really a contract right. So I think, you know, putting all the actual law aside and looking at it from the lens as JT described, of, you know, just a conversation. It is an interesting conversation because if there is a handle, like let's just use a very generic example. We own, let's say Pegasus.com. Okay. So, you've got Pegasus.com, you know, let's say it was a company. Okay. And so you got Pegasus, logistics, and they've got an X handle at Pegasus, and they go out of business or they get bought. Company, you know, let's use the example. They actually go out of business. So company goes bankrupt, goes out of business, shut down, liquidated, bop, doesn't exist anymore. Domain expires, somebody else buys it. Now you've got, you know, what you could call stranded property, right? You've got this X handle that, contractually speaking, by the terms of service, are owned by the controller of that email address. Okay, that email address is actually the controlling entity. It's for all intents and purposes, it's the public key for accessing that handle, right? Now, it is an interesting and intellectual conversation to me that you know, I think probably applies to a lot of our laws. And again, I don't even know what our current statutes are in regard to this. If what Michael Sumner, you know, perhaps overexpressed on X is true, and this would be like, you know, four felonies and a cupcake, then I think it is actually probably worth, you know, those laws being reexamined as they apply to things like this, because why should that at Pegasus handle that was previously associated with a company that was on the Pegasus.com domain name, and now that domain name is gone, the controlling email on the account is null and void. They're in effect, in reality, there is now no longer any, you know, nobody owns a handle on any of these platforms. But in effect, there's now no controlling or even administrative entity for that handle. And so it should have a recycling mechanism that allows it to go back into the wild, either through the platform or through other means, such as he who controls the domain controls the handle. I have actually been, you know, the reason this is even interesting to me beyond just surface level is because it's something I've discussed and I've thought about for a very long time. You know, Jack Dorsey, even though he doesn't fully grasp, you know, what a great domain is, and he always uses these bullshit domains, he does understand that domain names are ultimately like the bridge between, in the same way that Bitcoin is a bridge between digital, the digital world and the physical world, domain names are the bridge between the physical world and the digital world as pertains to information, where Bitcoin is as pertains to, you know, value. So it makes sense to me that a domain name, he who has the .com, should ultimately have either a priority or an optionality, some kind of mechanism to prioritize their access to the social media handles, because I think it's a bilateral benefit to both. I think it's beneficial to the domain and it's beneficial to the platform, because then they can have some form of consensus on, well, who should have this? Right? Is it always just who is willing to pay the highest price? Or, you know, and this is something that, you know, whatever, that's what I can't get into, but
yeah.
And these are really very real conversations that I say are happening at platforms to try and figure this out, is who should own these handles, right? And then what are they worth? And then under what mechanism can somebody resell it? And then, you know, like, these are important questions that have not really been addressed in the marketplace yet. The marketplace of ideas and commerce. And so I think there's more to it than people are making out. And I think it's unfair to just, you know.
Well, and I think, right.
And I think that's judgment on Shane's part to be like, you know, hey,
What do you do when they lose access? I mean, like, it's tied to the domain. They lost access to that. They can't even get into it. I mean, it's probably super circumstantial. I mean, stealing and fraud and anything is wrong. There's probably some circumstantial areas. I've got a bridge to get out of this if you want.
we'll take that in a second. I have a couple of quick points because, you know, I do think that, you know, and fraud is fraud, right? And it's wrong and it's illegal, you know? And it's a question of what's a violation of the law. You make a good point. Like, we have not done a deep dive into the statutes. I think there was some reference to the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, which deals more with hacking. Right. So it's this idea of diving into, you know,
is that hacking though? You know what I mean? Like,
hold on. I'm going to get there. Cause I understand what you're saying. And I think there's an intellectual exercise here. And this is also why I said, look, don't be so quick to be like, oh yeah, this is all stuff we've all done. Cause let's be clear, you know, we're not, that's not standard practice. Right. But I think that it's this idea of,
let's just be clear that this is not a practice at all for us. And this is not something that we have ever engaged in or done.
Thank you. Because I just want to be clear here, because I don't want
to be abundantly clear.
We have Shane's back, but at the same time, we're not saying like, no, it's cool, dog. We're all out here.
I started this conversation saying, was it bad judgment from Shane? Yes, absolutely.
Well, but and I think it's
the
bad.
The point is that I think it raises some interesting points and questions.
100%.
I think we missed the opportunity to have that discussion because everybody just wants to jump on board and throw rocks and
light
a fire.
I said. I think X is a bad place to go out there. And if he's engagement farming and he's like, hey, guys, here's an idea where some things you could get into, like show more, click here. And it's like, oh, now you've opened this door because you've started this dialogue, and now it's like, and you have no opportunity to really engage in a discourse that really makes sense or clarify the record in a way that, you know, doesn't make you look as bad as maybe you do, right? And it's all good, right? I mean, and you're talking about Shane, who's literally published on his blog like every day for the past however many years. At some point, you run out of stuff to talk about, right? Like, you know, so you're like, oh, let me talk about this. And then the next thing you know, you're getting this enormous blowback. And so when you're talking about social media handles, you have to remember, and this is my thing, is that the terms of service are going to ultimately govern, right? These are private companies that dictate what happens with the use of these things. So, you know, now it's like, okay, well, what's a violation of their terms, you know? And that is going to, in a lot of ways, dictate what's okay, not okay, right? And then, but even trumping that at a higher level is what is actually legal or illegal that's directly addressed by way of statute, rules, regulations, or what have you, right? And it's this sort of triangulation of all these things that kind of determine right and wrong. I do think that what Shane was addressing, and again, I don't want to put words in his mouth or whatever, but, you know, if you're talking about these abandoned accounts that have no current user, right? Then it's a question of, well, who has that right? Because then technically, if a handle's not,
so that's what I'm saying, is you end up with these stranded things that technically there's no way for anybody to get to, right? If you're the legitimate person, you're cut off. Your bridge has been burned because you lost the domain, which controls the email, which is the ultimate controlling.
Or if that person dies, the domain.
Well, yeah, but I think if you're still an active user,
Different. Death, you present a death certificate to the platform, and then the platform has certain obligations, policies, etc.
But I think if you've got somebody who's an active user that wants to get access, that doesn't then mean, hey, you lost access, but yet you're still there and want to get access, that you then no longer have the right to it, right? That's almost more of a X problem. Like, hey, make sure you have a path for people who lost access. But I'm talking about people who, like, to your point, it was a company thing. The company goes out of business. The handle's stranded. Yeah. It's abandoned. You know, these kinds of things that, you know, no one's gone to even, you know. Like, how long do you have the right to continue to use a handle for once you go and claim it initially, right? I think X has their own policy about that, you know? So, and then that all plays into that. And then who, they've got rights. So, you know, and they have the ultimate say, the ultimate control. So, you know, I think it's a very nuanced, there's layers to it, I guess, which is the thing. I feel bad that Shane kind of waded into it and kind of is getting beat up for it. I think that's the whole reason we're talking about it in the first place, and just saying, we have your back, dude. We're not going to get in and say right or wrong on this. I think there are definitely things that from an academic philosophy.
No, I mean, look, even Shane was like, yeah, you know, in hindsight, it was bad judgment. You know, so it's all good. I didn't wish everybody would take it down a notch, chill the fuck out, worry about your problem. You know, saying like, y'all sell less domains than me. That means you got problem. Worry about that. Go sell some fucking domains. You know what I mean? Chill the fuck out.
Well, and I will say, because then we got pulled in a little bit as well. It's like, look, we do have a direct relationship.
Don't get out of pocket. Start bringing me in this because, whoo.
Well, for what it's worth, we actually have a legitimate channel to help people get premium X handles. So it's like, so for anyone who needs some help with that, like holler at your boy, you know, because, you know, there is opportunity there because, you know, I think that all, like all these platforms should be trying to get the handles in the hands of the best possible users. One point you made that I want to call out is in true .com maxi, you know, sort of form. You said, hey, if you got the .com, you should get all the social media handles. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, that's a funny, interesting argument in it to itself, because it is like, who is the best user, right? Is it the .com?
Obviously,
is
the .com.
Who's going to pay the most for it?
Everybody else got training wheels on.
Well, that would be a pretty cool thing for .com domains and domains in general if there was policy established at any of the social media platforms.
Listen,
saying, hey, anyone who has the .com has the
ICA,
first right.
Oh, by the way, you're a board member. I want you to bring this up at the ICA. If there was one single thing that the ICA could do to actually be productive, you guys could go lobby for VeriSign to make a deal with all of these platforms that he who has the .com has priority on the handle. What an amazing deal that would be, that would drive unbelievable amounts of value to .com domain orders, which is ultimately the supposedly, you know,
well, I mean, I hear you, and that would be pretty, there's a lot of hair on that dog, but I think to your point about the ICA, first of all, the ICA does a lot of great stuff, you know, when you're like, oh, the ICA could just do something. Like, first of all, the ICA is doing a lot of great work. Big shout out.
I know. We love you, ICA.
And,
JT.
So let me just put my ICA hat on.
About the result.
I'm going to represent my team there, my people at the ICA, because they are my family. Yeah, but look, but I think that's a very interesting point and definitely something we could raise, which is, look, like, what is the role of VeriSign with the social media platforms as ways to figure out how there can be better synergy to establish some things around that? But I think it's tough to say from a blanket standpoint, .com gives you access to all. That's pretty crazy.
Yo, Facebook, we're going to cut you a check for like $50 million a year and you're going to just give priority to the .com owner. Like, Facebook, yeah, let's do that deal. You know what I mean? Like,
hey, you know, well, I mean, this is my point about this. This is a nuanced conversation that has many layers, and it needs a broader discussion.
Yeah, we're throwing around ideas.
Oh, that's where I was going to bridge out of this, right? Like, let's get out of there. Here's the bridge, man.
Let's cross the bridge.
Like, truly, I'm done with the conversation. So all these new extensions, it's interesting, two things I'm seeing. Like, I think, you know, I look at probably 30 to 50 companies a day, you know, AI, a lot of these companies are not going to exist in like 6 months from now. I see a lot of startups branding, not just on the .ai, right? But like weird domains. You're like, how could you even, you know, .me, .live, you know, with like not even like the raw version and that, you know, they're adding something in there. And it comes down, you know, I was struggling once. I was like, wow, you know, like, how are they getting the money to brand on this? But the fundamentals of your domain equals your brand equity, right? It's like, you know, they have to at some point create simplicity and clarity, if nothing else for site security, if nothing else for email security, right? Global positioning. I think there's going to be a lot of business to be had. The ones that do survive, you know, in like 2-3 years from now, because they're all going to need to upgrade at some point, you know, because of that, that confusion they're creating. You know, my thesis on this is that a lot of these companies are they're stuck in direct response marketing, right? Hey, advertise, we get customers coming in, right? So that generation was built on that, but that only has so many legs, you know. As soon as the algorithm changes, it's like, oh, hey, our you know, cost for acquisition just got, you know, just doubled or tripled, right? And the more confusion we create, the more, you know, that goes up with the those algorithm changes. So I guess it's an interesting trend. I was looking at a post here. It's like, let me get one here. .earth, you know, perennial.earth. They raised $25 million, you know.
Oh, dude,
you're on a .earth,
yeah.
You know. But listen, email deliverability is huge, right? So it's like you can do that, but don't think you don't pay for that. And then, you know, on the flip to that is that, you know, your email deliverability. So I'm just trying to bring that back into the conversation. Like, your domain does matter. You know,
here's what we've seen, because now that we've gotten a lot more involved with social media handles and some of that process and worked with some of those teams and we're doing and customers and clients and buyers and sellers and everything, you know, there's no doubt that the appreciation and the importance of domains stands out even the more that we get into those scenarios, those deals, the value of those pieces of digital property, if they are even property, right, or access or accounts or whatever you want to call it.
Certainly not property.
Yeah. Well, and that's it. Well, and even domains, right? Let's be clear. If we're going to talk from a legal standpoint, domains are effectively a contract right, right? I mean, they're not property. They're a contract right. And handles even further to that point, which are, you know, and it's even a looser contract because you're not even talking about some sort of a payment. You know, what is the consideration on the part of the buyer if they're not paying for those rights in the first place, you know, renewals or registrations in the first place? So, you know, it's kind of like we joke around on the show and we're like, hey, if there's something you don't like about what we did on the show today, just hit us up and we'll give you a refund of what you paid to watch, right? It's like the same kind of thing. It's like, oh, we'll give you a refund of the $0 that you paid to initially claim this handle, right? This access to this account. So, you know, but domains are without a doubt the most established, you know, and when you talk about digital assets and digital rights, you know, on the internet, not to mention it is literally your ground zero for all of your entire online presence. So, you know, and we're seeing, I think, even more and more of a premium placed on domains and on .coms, even with this uptick in .ai and everything else. It's like, but all that still seems to kind of keep pushing more and more value and attention to .com domains, which people seem to get more and more locked in an understanding of the value and the pricing and all that stuff. So. Well, Drew, you look like you locked in.
I thought he froze on some straight up. Like, he had the serial killer face on for a second. I was like, shit, what'd I say? You know what I'm saying?
He looked like a deer in the headlights. I agree with you. I mean, that comes down to, I try to look at it from a logical standpoint, right? Because we talk to buyers all the time, like, that just want to, you know, either they're going to an extension or they're trying to move up. I was talking to someone today on a .me. And they're in security. You know, I was like, listen, like, you need this. And I go to the seven dimensions, right? It's like, what dimension does this impact, right? It's like security and email security. It's like you're creating confusion. That confusion opens you up to phishing, right? Opens you up to being hacked because your consumers don't know or your customers don't know, hey, it's a .me today, but maybe it's me.com, you know? So like the simplicity. Customers reward simplicity, right? With trust, and trust is rewarded with conversion, right? And long term, you know. So there's a logical reason to it, but it's also confusing because you see all these companies today just branding on anything, right? It seems like there's money being thrown out there, right? Like a dot earth, you know. You're like,
dude, if you're raising millions of dollars on a dot earth, like we got to get developing our domain,
But there, you know, it comes with an impact, right? So that was my main point is like, you know,
yeah,
I think
100%,
when I see this, there's a lot of opportunity out there. There's gonna be a lot of opportunity for sales in the future. And I think these companies are doing a massive disservice by not acquiring the raw version if it's available.
Yeah. No, and I think a .ai is a great option if the .com is truly not obtainable and you're married to a brand. I mean, .orgs, we've talked about that. You know, all that kind of stuff. I think that and we're entering.
I don't need to rehash it, but look, dude, all of that is relevant if your time frame, your time horizon that you're evaluating is 12, 24 months. If your time horizon is more than that, I'm sorry. I really am. I know everybody doesn't agree with me. And I constantly, daily, I try to think about how am I wrong. But the fact of the matter is that I know I'm not. And if your time horizon for your company, for your brand is longer than 24 months, and you think that you're good with your .ai domain or anything else for that matter, I mean, you're literally picking up pennies in front of a steamroller. And I promise you that I'm going to, you know, you're going to get eaten. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to be a pancake and you're going to get eaten. That's it.
Pancakes get eaten.
Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered, and pancakes get eaten.
It's true. It's true. I don't know how else to tell people. Like, we see this over and over and over and over and over, and nobody listens. They don't believe me, or I don't care anymore, to be honest with you. But the reality is, 80% of the companies that we engage with, over 80% that say, nope, I don't want to spend the money. Nope, don't care. Nope, I'm good with my dot, whatever. 80% of those companies do not exist 5 years out. They're gone. Over 80%. However, nearly 80% still exist 5 years out if they did one of two things. Either they successfully got their ZachBrandMatch.com, or they made a true concerted effort to do so and maybe failed because it wasn't available, price was out of reach, whatever, okay? But if you have a founder, and you can interpret this data however you wish, it's the data. Way I interpret it is that this is simply a proxy for founder, let's say, vision, okay, or founder capacity. Is this a founder that has short-term vision and they're looking for an acqui-hire? They're looking for, you know, they're just focused on getting their next, fundraising. Or is it a founder who's focused on building a brand, building a company, building a lasting entity that will then go on to acquire other companies, not be acquired by a larger company? That's the difference in my mind. And so that's okay. If you are building something so that Amazon buys you in 3 years, then that's fine. Probably that dog shit is fine for you. But if you are looking to be the next Amazon, if you want to be the next Facebook, if you want to be the next OpenAI, then you need a .com. Go back and go ask fucking Grok what happens to people that say this time is different, okay? They don't exist anymore. They're gone. They're gone from the market. They're gone from the business. They're gone from the
I think over and over.
This is a repeating process. Okay, so stop. It's not even a fucking discussion anymore. You people are stupid. There's .com, and then there's everything else. And then everything else is training wheels. That's all it is. There's nothing more there. Not .ai, not .net, not .anything. There's .com, and then there's training wheels. And training wheels are important. My kids rode bikes with training wheels until they could ride and balance and be big girls and boys. And then we took the training wheels off and they rode faster and further, right? And they could keep up. Same shit, okay? No problem. Start out with .ai, .xyz. I think these are great options. In fact, you're better off, right? Go, don't start off. Go see if your idea is worth fucking investing in. If somebody's willing to invest in your idea, maybe you're onto something. Take some of that money, get the .com, so you actually have a chance of winning. Otherwise...
Well, and real quick, this reminds me of a quote that Rick Schwartz that I like to say, you know, he says to buyers that give him a hard time about the price of the domain. He says, look, it's not that the price is too high. It's that your idea is too small. And if okay, you are
so
truly...
So funny, the older I get, the more fucking time I spend in this business. The reality is, as abrasive as Rick can be, he is straight up honest. And he's right. Most of the time, not all the time, most of the time, he's right. I think he's wrong on this .ai thing. But the fact of the matter is that 99% of the time, Chris, tell me if I'm wrong, somebody comes, oh, the price is too high. And it's just like the actual correct answer is no, your business, your idea, your risk tolerance, you as a person are too small for this domain. That's it.
Yeah, or the worldview's not there, but that's what we try to replace that worldview with the correct worldview. And then the question becomes, like, I listen, there's three conversations in every one of my sales, right? It's like, what do you want to offer, right? That's the gut feeling. What is it worth to you? And what do they want to sell it for? And if the ROI over time horizon of 3 to 5 years is like higher than what they want to sell, then your only question is, how do I get this? How do I lock it in? Sure.
That is all anybody needs to know about domains. Literally, those three questions. Ask yourself that. That's
it. And then there's three questions for the seller too. So It's like, you know, what are you going to get, right? What's the market for this? And then what are they offering, right? It's like, hey, they're all, you know, you're pie in the sky. So, it, I mean, it's a flip. Two things. I would say I really enjoy talking to Rick in Florida. And I have to say that huge appreciation for him, his knowledge, the way he thinks. And I mean, you know, one of the best comments he made is like, real buyers don't get upset. And I still remember that. It was like, listen, you can't piss off a real buyer.
Piss off a real buyer.
And I'm like, yeah, because, you know, there's sometimes when, you know, you can kind of see they're not a real buyer, like, that's not going to work. And then they come back with like this long, how could you say that? You know, it's like, because you're not a buyer. Billy, take that rant that Drew just did to like be, that needs to be its own separate, you know, Sherpa short. Because that was beautiful.
It's just so frustrating. How many times can we have the same conversation in this industry?
Well, okay, because...
And it's just... But look, this is... I want to make an observation. This is not unique, okay, to the domain industry, okay? You can see the same thing in crypto. Everybody who is small-minded believes that some new crypto coin is the next Bitcoin because it's better, it's faster, it's smarter, it's far... Okay. Okay, no problem. Waste your money. It's okay. In any 2-month period of time, you might think you were really smart because it went up faster or further than Bitcoin. Okay. Over the long term, you're going to lose your money. No problem.
Well, I...
So the observation I'm trying to make is that you can look at almost any industry, and the people that didn't think big enough, they didn't think it critically, they are always looking for the easy way, right? You can look at health and diet, right? The next new pill comes out. Well, we've already seen that pills can't help you, right? Pill, taking a pill, taking an injection, like, comes with a price, right? Oh, you're going to lose fat. Yeah, but you're also going to be, you know, I don't really know what's going to die. You're going to turn your freaking...
Well, it's blindness. Blindness, but, and muscle atrophy and some other things.
Whatever. You're going to do all... The point is simple. It's everybody's always looking for the next easy way, right? And so it's, okay, I want a domain. I was late to .com, or the .com is more than I want to spend. You know, I think .xyz is great. I think .ai is great. I think .horse is great. Okay, no problem, right? And you can't change most people's minds. They're only going to learn the hard way. And so, you know, but it's frustrating. We see the same conversation over and over and over and over again, and everybody still gets fooled, except for a handful of people that have done the work. They've done the work. They've spent the money. They've made sales. They've gone out and had the conversations. And they get it. If you look at the repeat founders, they keep coming back to the trough and hitting home runs. What do they do? What do those guys do? They get to .com day one before they even announced the launch of their company. They get to .com, right?
Maybe, well,
they're doing something right.
I think what you have.
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. They must be lucky. They're just.
Here's what I say. Like, every trend is unique, but it's always the same, right? So just like you said, Drew, it's like, in this one, you have a lot of programmers, right? They're great, but they don't understand branding, right? And that's the difference. And so, I mean, you see, like, they have the .ai, but they don't have the .ai.com, right? No one types in .ai or .io or .org. They don't do the inverse, right? They're not like, hey, let's say it's like Transform, right? Broke on that one. They're not going to type in, oh, I wonder if it's Transform.ai. No, you always type in the .com. There's always a halo effect back to the .com. It's how the human mind works with ranking, right? There's, like, we naturally rank, right? Human nature doesn't change. I would say in this trend, what's different is that you have lean into the trend, right? It's a trend. There's money coming in. And because it was, everything was new, everyone's vying for positioning, right? But we're kind of at the point now where, like, so, like, with positioning, if you're the first to market, you can gain traction with that .ai and those other things, right? You can gain some traction. The more saturated you go, you know, once an industry is already established, and that position is already established, now you have to take a different approach, right? Because it's already established. You think of the established industries that are out there, right? And so AI changed that because AI, everything was new. It's like, oh, this is AI. I've got this special feature, right? And then you get into it and you realize, well, that's not really that special, right? Or I can't really trust that feature. So I think that was the difference is you had companies trying to get that early share position with this new technology, this new, you know, new way of doing things. But every trend is the same in a sense, right? It's like, okay, now the markets are established. Okay, now, you know, how do you gain that? And because every, like, there's all these, you know, all these new companies, it's oversaturated. You know, I've heard out there, like, this, the bubble's going to crash at some point. There's so much money coming in and they kind of all do the same thing, right? I mean, you look at like the lead generation, the CRM space, they're all kind of the same, you know?
No, I mean, you're right. And there are going to be winners. And then it's a question of, you know, but how do you cut through the noise to even get to who ultimately will be the winner when these, you know, a lot of, and if you've got a company that's competing with another company that's got the .com domain, right? And that's an even harder hill to climb.
It's, I just come back to simplicity is rewarded with trust and, you know, in conversion, right? Consumers and customers and clients reward simplicity. Confusion costs money. You can overcome that with a lot of money, but don't confuse yourself. It costs money.
Exactly.
So you're investing in one or the other.
Yeah. If I can interject, I think I'm in a privileged position. I was in a privileged position because going, you know, working at a telecom, I've seen this conversation happen over and over and over again throughout post-sales transactions. And I was in a privileged position in which I was talking to the brokers and I was talking to the investors and I was talking to the client. And every single person was pretty much going around the same cycle of, you know, like .com versus .ai versus .io. And I think that also doing the report or the data analysis at Esperocom myself, everyone was asking me, well, how are the AI sales looking like this year? How are the .com sales looking this year? And they always expected it to be different than the previous year. And that never happened. So further to that, I can't, you know, obviously speak about specifics because, you know, that's not allowed. But what I can say is that you can't expect this to continue changing. And there has been a lot of speculation. We've seen it with the IO. We've seen it with the AI. And at the beginning, the whole like bubble that burst out was primarily speculation. Even the buyers themselves were coming back to escrow.com to purchase the .com because they were like, oh, 6 months later, we've made a mistake. So that I can say. And I think that going over and over and over again about the same kind of like conversation and on the same topics, and you know, I mean, it's done. I mean, it's been said several times. And I think Chris have an incredible point in terms of like your exact match. That is the most important thing of all from a customer perspective. Like, if you don't get your exact match.com domain, You're going to be stranded because your customer is not going to be like trusting your brand. They're not going to even care to find you. They do type the .com. They type your company name .com period, and they expect to find you. And if they don't, what's the point? Why do you even, you know, what's the fucking point? That's it. So that's what I said.
No, that's good. And I think it echoes what we're saying. And I think you've got, you know, some really unique insight because you've seen so many deals and you see it right there at the, you know, where the pipe comes out, you know, into the ocean, if you will. And
gets made.
You're safer.
I think this is good timing.
You're safer leasing a .com because you don't have the budget right now. You're safer like leasing that instead of like just purchasing the .io or .ai or .me or .online or whatever the fuck. And then just being like, oh, I should have bought the .com to begin with.
Let me make 2 points. First one is like, lean into the trend, right? There is a trend. There's money flowing, right? That money is not always going to flow. Look at the other trends in the industry, right? It's not always going to be there. And so, you know, there was a lot of money flowing in, a lot of new companies created. They had to, like, to your Drew's point, have training wheels. As a domain investor, lean into it, right? But also know, like, that this is a trend. And so, you know, there's a peak.
Trends have an end.
When we get over that trend, the offers are not going to be as high. And I would say resale value as well. You know, it's like, the .com continues to go up, right? Especially when there's like five different brands with that same keyword. They're going to grab, you know, .com comes available. They've all raised a lot of money. They're going to want that. I don't think that goes back to their extensions, right? .me, .live, .earth, you know. I mean, AI, you know, is going to hold some value, but, you know, that resale value, right? What is the asset here? I can tell you, you know, because we get domains that companies went out of business, right? I mean, that goes up in value.
Yeah, you know, that brings up an
interesting. You want that valuable position.
Yeah, Braden mentions it on the show a lot when he talks about pricing his domains. He has a lot of obviously really valuable oneword.coms and says, look, like at a minimum, he's like, I'm not worried about owning these assets as long as I have the cash flow because I know that they will retain their value. I can sell them for a lot more than I paid for them. And even if in a pinch, if I had to sell them for at the wholesale value, they're, you know, because they continue to go up in value, they're worth more now than what I paid for them, you know, a few years ago. So even if I had a fire, sell them. And, you know, we know.
Well, these other companies, they're not going to rebrand to the .ai once they have 10 years in, right? But they will do it to the .com, right? So like, that's the difference, right? It's like, let's say it's something earth.com or .ai or whatever, right? They had to add two words in there. They will buy the .com and transition to that. I don't think that you're going to see that transition after they've launched. And so this is where it's like timing. Like if you missed, like if the biggest, best offer smacked you in the head, would you recognize it? And, you know, when you have glassy eyes, you pass and then you come back and you're like, I mean, think of all the meta things, right? Think of all these different trends where they pass like, oh, do you understand? This is going to be the biggest thing. And it's like, okay, you know, there's no one offering on that now.
Yeah.
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker specializing in domain acquisitions, high-value domain sales, and domain name consultation. As pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high-value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
No, it's good. All right, but we said this was a Sherpa short. It has turned into a Sherpa not so short, which is still all good.
Delete the first half, maybe.
Oh, we got through some really great. It's good content, start with Drew's man. Rant. It's good stuff, and these are good conversations. And I think there's a lot of important information. I mean, then there's a ton of valuable knowledge. So again, as always, thank you guys. Anybody else have any quick final parting shots before we call it here? Drew, I'll start with you. We'll go around the horn, and then we'll be out. And it can be none.
I don't know.
He's already. All of a sudden, he's done.
He's already out. All right, Chris, what about you, man? I mean,
I actually am happy to continue chatting. I just wish everybody in the domain game would up their game a little. You know what I'm saying? Like, just stop being petty. Like, let's. I feel like we are truly blessed with the greatest industry on earth. I think about this all the time because. Look, I could stop tomorrow and go do whatever I want. And every day I think about it, like the people I get to engage with, the flexibility that this business offers me, the rewards that this business offers me. If you put in the work and you spend the time being, you know, thinking critically and trying to think differently than the herd. I truly, truly believe it's the single greatest industry on earth. I don't think that you can find one that offers the cumulative package of benefits and rewards that domain names offer, and we're still in a growth curve, right? So perhaps even in the early stages, who knows? So I think that we all were just grateful that, you know, if we recognize that and we were grateful for that, and we all made it our mission to make the industry a little bit better rather than tear it all down, I think we'd all be doing 10x better. And so anyways, that's my final reflection for today is,
okay,
you know, like build up instead of tear down.
I'd echo that. It's like, stay humble. Listen, no one cares about us outside. You know, there's a little bubble there. No one cares, you know, like, no, like truly no one cares. Like, stay humble, stay positive. What do you want? You know, hunt value, creating that.
All right. And Sophia?
I'm going to say, I mean,
get that bag.
No, I mean, I think that as a personal note, the change is exciting. I think
we're excited to have you.
Of course you are. You love me. But the change is exciting. Why are you doing that, Jamie?
No, I'm with it. It's a win-win.
JT's like, I love you too, Drew.
Yeah, he got jealous there for a second. I love change. I think change is great. And, you know, I'm excited to help you even do better, if that's even possible. I think that, you know, having worked at Expo, I will say this. Again, as I said before, like, I think I'm in a privileged position in which I've seen both sides of the coin, and I think that there is a lot of untapped information there. Don't worry, your secrets are safe with me, of course. There is a contract, but there is a lot of I don't know, a lot of things that could be done better.
It's an efficient market. We're in an extremely inefficient market that we're not fully.
That's very true. Yeah. That is very true. I agree with you.
No, and I was just saying, like, we have plenty of stuff in our internally that we need to improve on, and our systems, and plenty of stuff there, and opportunities that we can take better.
Yeah, no one company
there's
is
even
perfect.
Stuff at these, you know, at the space level. I think that, you know, there are plenty of opportunities for improvement. So
To be quite fair and to be quite honest with you, I think it's like the general thing as well. Like, it's not just specific to this company or whatever. Sometimes, you know, change brings change, and that's great. And that's, I think, my takeaway, I would say. Yeah. But that's pretty much it.
Yeah, no, that's what's up. And and I think that's the other thing. That's where Sherpa is important. You know, some of the other, the blogs, the podcasts, the conversations that happen, the chats, all these things. It's like, and I don't think there's anything wrong with holding people accountable. But I think the approach at times, and I think it's also hard sometimes when people are getting called out in spaces and things, like, not even like Twitter, but like on Twitter, like with this thing with Shane, where, you know, it's hard to have the kind of conversation that you really need to have. And I think that's probably indicative of a broader problem overall, because I think everything that happens in the town square is this like sort of mob mentality, and it just kind of gets crazy without, like, you know, true back and forth, to the extent that you even need to have a back and forth. But I do think that our space has opportunity to continue to grow and evolve in a positive way, that if everybody is positive towards that effort, we get there quicker. You know, I think the work the ICA is doing, like, you know, for registrant rights and, you know, for the companies involved. And I just think, you know, and the value of domains keeps going up. The understanding of the value of domains on the part of founders and businesses keeps going up. And, you know, I think that we're at a very interesting time. Things can go a lot of different directions, but I think it's important that, you know, kind of to the point we're making, we're kind of all in it together. Rising tide lifts all boats. In the immortal words of Bill and Ted, you know, we should be excellent to each other. And so on that note, I want to say thank you to Drew, Chris, and Sophia for being on the show today. Thank you guys so much. I mean, this all contributes towards what we're talking about. And to the audience, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We appreciate y'all. Without you, there is no us. So we'll keep doing what we're doing. In the meantime, hit us up. We are, you know, taking feedback that we get from everybody. And, you know, we try to implement that in our ways. We got some cool things coming up, some interesting things coming up. We've got portfolio reviews coming back, so we're going to post something shortly about submitting for that, which we talked about on the last show. I don't even think Drew realizes that we agreed to do this, because he probably didn't listen to the last show because he wasn't on.
You can agree to, you know, sell Girl Scout cookies, but
hey, I love me some Girl Scout cookies. All right. So, hey, on that note, we're going to get out of here. We're going to see everybody next time here on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Be excellent to each other. Peace out, everybody. We'll see y'all soon.